Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about fear of God expands our lives. We're going to be taking a look at Proverbs chapter 10. We're actually going to be taking a look at the Message version of the Bible in Proverbs chapter 10. I actually like occasionally to go in when I find a verse that I'm wanting to learn more about. Occasionally I'll go in and just read it in the Message version. Sometimes you get some insights out of the Message version that you don't get otherwise. I just like the simpleness of being able to read it and putting it into everyday terms. Sometimes it is nice. Let's get started with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communions is we start with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer. You want to find out more about this prayer on our website on the free tools and resources page. You can find some additional training and a tracker to track along with us as we go through this prayer, another half of prayer. But we pray this prayer, about a two-minute-long prayer, coming mostly from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez. And then we take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to listen, to examine ourselves, to plan our upcoming day with God, which leads us into our time of daily communion. Now, in the Abundant Life Blueprint, our goal, our target in life, I was seeking God for a lot of years. How do we know if our lives are on track? Our target in life is to make other people great. But that's pretty hard to do on our own. It's pretty hard to make other people great on our own. That's why these daily communions, keeping our eyes fixed on God, because it's His grace flowing through us that allows us to make other people great. And God makes us great in the process. Remember, Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you have to have childlike faith and humility. David says, God's right hand supported me. His gentleness made me great. That's Psalms 18:35, I believe. So we see this combination, childlike faith and humility, believing a bigger vision in our lives, going after God's purpose and plans for our lives, taking a more gentle approach toward it and a more gentle approach in everything we do. We talked about recently a pattern of gentleness. Then Jesus says, you want to be great in the kingdom, you got to practice the commandments and teach them, putting into practice the things that you know to do. What are the things that you know to do? Are you walking in them? Are you putting them into practice? And then at a certain point, we got to begin to teach them to other people. And then Jesus says, you want to become great, you got to become the servant of many. So I feel like God takes us on this path of making us fruitful, multiplying us, and then increasing us greatly. That seems to be the path. But remember, to produce fruit, sometimes we have to grow downward first to get some roots and to get established. Ephesians 3, Apostle Paul talks about getting rooted and established in love. Getting rooted and established in love first, as God begins to take us on this journey of making us fruitful, multiplying us, and increasing us greatly so that we become the servant of many. We begin to make other people great. We begin to make the people around us great. And the daily communions is the most important key, where we're staying plugged in. Jesus says, if you abide in me, you'll produce much fruit. Just staying plugged in and in communion with Him daily. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll do a couple minutes of the other half of prayer. But Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, all their friends, all those connected to them. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders. We're going to see the fear of the Lord expands our lives, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and all you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. We ask you to keep your hand on us, help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so let's start with, we're going to go through the other half of prayer here. We got a series of about four questions that we're going to go through. And then we'll get into our time of teaching for today. But first question, let's get our minds focused on the light. We've been released from the darkness, transferred into the light. Let's get our minds focused on the light. What's going well? What were your wins over the last 24 hours? What steps forward did you take? What are things you're grateful for? What are ways you've seen God coming through or showing up in your life over the last 24 hours? Let's get our minds fixed on what's going well. And then our second question, how is your level of just overflowing peace in your life over the last 24 hours? I like to think of peace as my indicator that I'm single-minded with my focus on God. God has given us his peace as this gift, his peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace is my indicator that I'm single-minded with my focus on God, that God is with me. He's for me. I have his blessing and favor on my life, and he's working continually for my good. I like to think of peace as my indicator. Now, peace is also an indicator. A lack of peace actually would be an indicator that maybe there's some separation. We feel the separation from God. We feel separated where we're wavering back and forth. We're not single-minded. We feel the separation in our thoughts and what we're focused on. Maybe we're focused on the problem rather than God. And we feel this division or separation. It could be we feel some separation in relationships with people. Maybe there's some people you feel some separation in your relationships. One of the verses that I love in the Message version of the Bible, there's a verse in the Message version that has helped me quite a bit. And it's in this Proverbs chapter 10 that we're going to read today. It says, an open face-to-face meeting promotes peace. An open face-to-face meeting promotes peace. If you're feeling that separation in something, you're lacking that peace, go to God, have an open face-to-face conversation with him. If you're feeling that separation in your relationships with people, go have an open face-to-face conversation with them. And always go into those conversations with a humble heart stance where you're willing to say, you know what, I may have missed it here. Go into those conversations with humility and gentleness. And you'll find that those conversations always promote peace. So when we have this sense of oneness, I think that we feel this greatest levels of peace. And then how are your levels of joy over the last 24 hours? God has given us his supernatural joy as well. I like to think of joy as my indicator that I'm in the present moment and I'm aware of God's presence with me. I'm in the present moment and I've got God's presence with me. When I'm dwelling on the past, I'm worried about the future, it steals our joy. So getting into the present moment. So we're going to do a little quick exercise. Our imagination is the most powerful tool we have for reprogramming our emotions. One of the most powerful tools we have. So we're going to take just a second. I want you to just visualize. We've been released from the darkness, transferred into the light. We've been seated at God's right hand. We're one with Jesus. And in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And so we're just going to take a second and just visualize, just sitting on that throne with Jesus. We're one with him, sitting next to God at his right hand. And just take a second to visualize that and imagine that and notice the peace and the joy that come upon you. And then it's about taking that into your day. And taking that into your day and executing the things that you know to do today, doing the things that you know you need to do, God's stirring you and prompting you to do on the inside, doing those and executing them with peace and joy and confidence in God. And as you get more present, it turns the tables and grace begins to flow out of you, equipping and empowering you to do things in a way that you cannot do on your own. So our next question, what do you know to do today? What do you know to do today? What are the things that you know you need to get done? Maybe there's some administrative things, things around the house, these types of things. What do you need to get done today? And then what are the things that God is prompting and stirring you to do? This time of year is often a time where God stirs your desire. He begins to expand you. He begins to expand your vision. We're going to see the fear of God expands your life. as God begins to expand things, what are those things that he's stirring you to do, that he's motivating you to do on the inside? And not that you have to figure it all out, but just taking the first step, following his lead and following his leading in those things. And then what's the most important thing God's been teaching you or showing you over the last 24 hours? What's God been trying to teach you? What's he been trying to show you over the last 24 hours? And if you'll get in the habit of just getting still for a couple minutes each day, reflecting back, all right, what has he been teaching me? What have I been hearing on the inside? It's his voice that's trying to lead you to a beautiful place. And if you'll do this day by day, one lesson will begin to stack up on the next, and he'll lead you to a place that you could not get otherwise. But let's get into Proverbs chapter 10. Like I said, sometimes I like to go into the Message version and take a look at what it has to say in the Message version of the Bible. So we're actually going to read all of Proverbs chapter 10 from the Message version, just because I think it's got some cool insights in there that we don't get a lot of times otherwise. One of those being, an open face meeting promotes peace. So I woke up and I feel like God was prompting me to go look at that verse. An open face-to-face meeting promotes peace. And when I started to look at that verse in Proverbs 10, I found what we're going to talk about today, which is a little bit lower, which is the fear of God expands your life. July is a reminder every year, God wants to expand your vision. So here's Proverbs 10 in the Message version. It says, the wise sayings of Solomon, the subtitle, An honest life is immortal. It says, wise son, glad father, stupid son, sad mother. Ill-gotten gain gets you nowhere. An honest life is immortal. God won't starve an honest soul, but he frustrates the appetites of the wicked. Sloth makes you poor, but diligence brings wealth. Make hay while the sun shines, that's smart. Go fishing during harvest, that's stupid. Blessings accrue on a good and honest life. Blessings accrue on a good and honest life, but the mouth of the wicked is a dark cave of abuse. A good and honest life is a blessed memorial. A wicked life leaves a rotten stench. A wise heart takes orders. So the wise heart, you're going to see a theme all through Proverbs. A wise heart, a wise person listens and takes correction and submits to authority. An empty head comes unglued. Honesty lives confident and carefree, but shifty is sure to be exposed. An evasive eye is a sign of trouble. Someone who won't look at you, I've learned that's a sign of trouble. But an open face-to-face meeting results in or promotes peace. The mouth of a good person is a deep, life-giving well, but the mouth of the wicked is a dark cave of abuse. Hatred starts fights, but love pulls a quilt over bickering. You'll find wisdom on the lips of a person of insight, but the short-sighted needs a slap on the face. The wise accumulate knowledge, which is a true treasure, but know-it-alls talk too much, a sheer waste. Here's our next subtitle. The road to life is a disciplined life. The wealth of the rich is their bastion. The poverty of the indigent is their ruin. The wage of a good person is exuberant life. An evil person ends up with nothing but sin. The road to life is a disciplined life. Ignore correction and you're lost for good. Liars secretly hoard hatred, and fools openly spread slander or gossip. The more talk, the less the words. The wise measure their words. The wise measure their words. The speech of a good person is worth waiting for, but the blabber of the wicked is worthless. The talk of a good person is rich fare for many, but chatterboxes die of an empty heart. Here's this subtitle: the fear of God expands your life. God's blessing makes life rich, and nothing we do can improve on God. An empty head thinks mischief is fun, but a mindful person relishes wisdom. The nightmares of the wicked come true. What good people desire, they get. We talked recently about evil desires versus good desires. What good people desire, they get. When the storm is over, there's nothing left of the wicked. Good people, firm on their rock, foundation, aren't even fazed. Jesus says, you build my life upon my word, it'll survive the storms. Good people, firm on their rock and foundation, aren't even fazed. A lazy employee will give you nothing but trouble. It's vinegar in the mouth and smoke in the eyes. The fear of God expands your life. A wicked life is a puny life. That's an interesting verse. I'm going to read it again. The fear of God expands your life. A wicked life is a puny life. So small thinking, that's what this is saying. Small thinking, that's a wicked life. Fear of God expands your life. In the Amplified version, this verse reads a little differently, talking about prolonging your life. It says, the reverent fear of the Lord. What is fear of the Lord? Honor, reverence. It says here, worshiping, obeying, serving, and trusting him with awe-filled respect prolongs one's life. It says, the aspirations of good people end in celebration, but the ambitions of bad people crash. God is a solid backing to a well-lived life, but he calls into question a shabby performance. Good people last. They can't be moved. The wicked are here today and gone tomorrow. A good person's mouth is a clear fountain of wisdom, but a fool's mouth is a stagnant swamp. The speech of a good person clears the air. So again, this idea, our speech and our words and open face-to-face meetings, we can clear the air. But the words of the wicked pollute it. So, like I said, I wanted to read that from the Message version this morning. I think it's some different way of looking at some verses. Just gives us a different angle of looking at it. But I'd like to focus on that verse today. The fear of the Lord expands life. A wicked life is a puny life. The fear of the Lord expands life. And this is not something we have to figure out how to do on our own. We're going to believe today that when we take communion today, we're going to be receiving this, that as we fear God, we have reverence for him, we have honor for him, we're obeying him, we're serving him, we're trusting him, we're submitting our lives to him. He's going to take us on this path of expanding our life. We just simply have to say yes and show up and follow his leading in our life. And it expands and prolongs. We can see both angles. He expands our life and prolongs it. So as we take communion today, we're going to be believing that we receive that in this present moment. It's going to just continue to expand and increase from this moment going forward in our lives. It's going to be a turning point. And every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus. His death is a big deal because in the case of a will or an estate plan, an inheritance, you have to prove somebody's death to set all that into motion, to activate all that. Every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, bringing his sacrifice into the present moment, making it active and relevant in our life. And we can begin to receive these promises of God right now in the present moment. And every time we take communion, just taking a second to just meditate on, I think, two things. God's steadfast, unfailing love for us. That his love never fails. That he loved us so much, he was willing to send his one and only son to die for us. That's how much he loves us. And if he was willing to do that, how will he not freely give us all things? How will he not freely give us all things? The blessing of the Lord. We have his blessing and favor on our lives through Jesus's body. We have peace with God. And his blessing, it says, we just read it in Proverbs chapter 10. His blessing makes life rich. His blessing makes life rich. How will he not freely give us all things to enjoy? So, Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents, and we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he said this very simple thing: take it, receive it. Receive that Jesus makes you right with God. You have peace with God. You are one with God through what Jesus did. He's made you righteous and holy and perfect forever, it says in Hebrews, I think, chapter 10. Receiving that, as we bring our life to God, we have the fear of God in our lives, just awe and reverence and respect and honor for him. We're trusting in him. He's going to expand our life. He's going to do more with our life than we ever thought was possible, more than we could ever ask or dream or think or imagine. We just follow his lead in our lives. Father, we thank you for it. I ask you to bless this bread in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can go ahead and take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. So this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. We have this new covenant in the blood of Jesus. The cup of God's wrath was poured onto the body of Jesus so we could have his cup of blessing in our lives. He could be with us and for us. We have peace with him. We can have joy in his presence every single day. And we can know him. We can have this personal relationship with him. Jesus says in John 17, verse 3, this is eternal life, that they would know God and know him, know Jesus, to know God and to know Jesus. That's his definition of eternal life, that we can have that right now. We can begin to walk in that today. We can know him more and more and develop in our relationship with him and grow closer with him today. And it can continue for eternity. That's truly an amazing thing when you think about it. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup and what it represents. And we just ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. So every time we take communion, I believe it's a table turner. It turns the tables, taking the focus off of us, putting it on to God and his grace for us. Now it's simply about receiving his grace, letting it flow through us. His voice is trying to lead us to a beautiful place. He's trying to expand our lives to make us great. And we have this opportunity to know him and to partner with him in that life, in this life, to do the same for others. So now it's simply about walking it out. What do you know to do today? Walking out those things that you know to do and staying connected to him, remaining in him as you go execute those things that you know to do today. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to our website, theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.